Welcome to the Show Up Fitness Podcast, where great personal trainers are made. We are changing the fitness industry one qualified trainer at a time with our in-person and online personal training certification. If you want to become an elite personal trainer, head on over to showupfitness.com. Also, make sure to check out my book, How to Become a Successful Personal Trainer. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a great day and keep showing up. Howdy, y'all. Welcome back to the Show Up Fitness Podcast. Today, we're going to help you pass the NASM CPT 2024. Show Up Fitness has helped over 4,500 people and counting pass this. Now, will you become a qualified trainer? That's a whole different story. We can help you pass this horseshit as quickly as possible. Before we do so and get into the three best techniques, we're going to help you design a program for a client who wants to train four times a week. Show Up Fitness. We teach you sales. We teach you the business side of training, the trade skills and the people skills. You should be setting expectations up for your clients to be training with you between 4 to 6 times per week. The average trainer settles on 1 to 2, and that's why they're not able to generate a full book of business and ultimately end up transferring into a new career within 12 months. So when you have a client that agrees to work with you 4 times, you should be doing a split routine. The one I'm going to take you through today is going to be an upper, lower, upper, lower. This could be for a beginner. It could be for someone who's intermediate or advanced. You would just need to tailor the rep schemes to that individual. When we have a beginner, we typically want to do 10 to 15 reps. Lighter loads, which will help strengthen the connective tissue, specifically the ligaments and tendons. Remember, a ligament connects bone to bone. A tendon connects muscle to bone. The reason we use lighter loads because connective tissue, ligaments, and tendons are avascular, meaning they lack blood flow. So it takes them longer to get stronger. After a good month of training regularly, you can then up the intensity 70 to 80%, which corresponds with about 6 to 10 reps. And then after another month, get into the strength range. So the split routine that we'd start with, you begin with the 10 checkpoints of human movement: ankle, knee, hip, lumbar, thoracic, cervical, shoulder, elbow, wrist, and then some breathing drills. Check off those 10 and make sure to get into all planes of motion. Remember, sagittal flexion extension, frontal AB adduction, and then transverse has rotation. And then we would get into the workout. We would do 3 CCAs, core movement pattern first, followed by an antagonist or upper lower core movement pattern, followed by an accessory. An accessory is an opportunity to implement an exercise that's new for the client that they want to improve if they have an injury. So for example, let's pretend a client sprained an ankle. That would be a great time to use a fucking BOSU ball, even though they're the dumbest pieces of equipment ever created. But when it comes to an injury, there is merit. If you have a client who wants a caboose train, then do some isolated glute exercises. Knowing the 4 actions of the glutes, extension, abduction, external rotation, posterior pelvic tilt, implement one of those isolating and get involved as the trainer. At Show Up Fitness, we are highly focused on getting engaged as the trainer, showing a new exercise, saying your client's name at least 3 times, and learning something new. These are the people skills that will get your clients showing up again and again and again. Results trump everything. But when it comes to the people skills, if you lack that, if you're a fucking rock or just boring as hell, your clients aren't going to continue to show up. That's why the average trainer has such a hard time retaining their business. They don't get results because they're doing weird shit on BOSU balls and stability balls, and then they don't enjoy being with that trainer. So the first circuit we would do, CCA, a push exercise followed by a pull exercise followed by an accessory. Now at Show Up, we teach you how to regress and progress. We have calls weekly with experts at Lifetime and Equinox. These trainers help you think on the fly. That is the most important part in this gym environment, because if you were to do a push, a bench press, and a pull, a chin-up, and say an accessory, it's a bro, so you want bigger arms, you do a bicep curl, and you want to specifically do a preacher curl, but the bench press is taken, and you can't do a chin-up because maybe the client's elbow's bothering them, and then the preacher curl machine's taken. So what do you do? If you just spend an hour fucking writing out this program for a client, you wasted all that time. Why? You need to be able to look at it as a push exercise. So I could do a push-up, grab some bands, there's your resistance there. Maybe you want to flip-flop because the bench press isn't open right now. So you could do your second or third CCA, which is going to focus more on pressing and pulling, so you understand how to navigate the gym environment. So we're going to do a bench press followed by a chin-up into a bicep curl. Do that for 3 rounds. Each round, you increase the load. So it's a beginner. Let's say they start out with 95, which is a 25 on each side. They do 10 reps. And you go into some chin-ups. And they do 3 to 5 for some eccentrics. Then you do a bicep curl. I always ask my client, what's your favorite bicep exercise? They could say, oh, I love 21s. I go, oh, my God, have you tried 28s? Oh, what the hell? What's a 28? And I show them a 28 variation. If you don't know what those are, make sure to check it out on YouTube. That's the new exercise. The client goes, holy shit, this is amazing. I need you. I haven't done this before. You are my trainer. You rest a little bit. You get them some water. Maybe you get them a towel. Go into round two. Add some weight. Now they're going to do a push again, the same exercise, into the pull-ups, 3 to 5 eccentric. Do not do more than that. You will absolutely annihilate your client. That's not the purpose of the workout. It's to get them enough stress where they feel it a little bit the next time, but not so much where they don't come back or they get rhabdomyolysis because the trainer's a fucking idiot and they're doing inappropriate exercises, too intense. And then after 3 rounds of that one, you go into the second CCA. And we're going to do a pull into a press into an accessory. We decide to do some face pulls into a landmine press into lateral raises. Again, 3 rounds, each time increasing the load. The last circuit, we do a push into a press or a pull. You make the decision as the trainer into another accessory. So we're going to do push-ups here into TRX pulls, into a plank game variation. Get involved as a trainer. We have a lot of that on YouTube. Get involved, make it fun. If you're that trainer who pulls out their fucking phone and puts the clock on for 60 seconds, I guarantee you that client is not going to work with you very long. They can do that at home. What they can't do at home is for them to lift the leg up and you apply some pressure. These perturbations make it fun and interesting, things they've never experienced before. They're thinking, wow, this is the experience I want. I see the value. Maybe you have a few minutes left. You could do some static stretching. You schedule them up for the next appointment. For the second day, it could be consecutive or non-consecutive. We're going to focus on lower body. Take a leg pattern. So there's three that we would typically use, a hinge, a squat, a unilateral. You could add in transition, which would be a jump variation in months 2 and 3, plus make sure they have the strength. So you find out what they want. Do you want to do squats, hip thrusts, or do you want to do some lunges first today? I will let the clients make a decision within reason. They don't get to decide the whole entire program, but maybe the emphasis for the day. Now, you could either do all one pattern, squat, 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 or you could break it up and do one of each. So we're going to do a squat pattern first into a push. I will do a push from the day prior if they aren't too sore, but I can bring my hands in closer, which will now emphasize triceps. Multi-jointed exercises are far superior than single-jointed exercises for fat loss. And until you are an expert, been training regularly, we don't need to isolate nearly as much as social media puts it out there to be. So we're going to do a squat into a close grip push-up into some band walks. Maybe I grab a ball and I throw it back and forth. If you're at Equinox at 5 o'clock and you see a trainer doing that with their client and the client's smiling because they have a burn in their ass, it's piquing the interest in the members. And they're going, you know what? That trainer looks fun versus the dipshit over there with their hands crossed. They have resting dick face. No one wants to work with that bro. Do that for 3 rounds. Second one, we're going to do another leg pattern. So we're going to decide to do a unilateral. We're going to do reverse lunge, which will emphasize more of the glutes. And then we're going to do a face pull, but we can add a variation that we didn't do the prior time. And then we're going to do another accessory. We're going to do some abductions. Trainer is going to push down, add that eccentric emphasis. 3 rounds there, and then we're going to end off on an RDL for the hinge pattern into an isolation here. So we decide to do some leg curls or some stability ball kickbacks, something along those lines. Isolate a muscle they want. I'll say to my clients, if a genie were to pop out of a lamp, one magical body part, what would it be? Keep it PC. They say hammies, and you do a stability ball curl. If they say quads, which is unlikely for a lot of hunkettes, but they could do some leg extensions or some reverse Nordics. Maybe they want adductors. You could do the adductor machine. And then you add in some cardio, some jumping jacks. If you have time, throw in a little game. A game can be a farmer's carry into a push-up, into a wall sit, and do 30 seconds on a piece of cardio. and you do that until the time expires. Get them to sweat and burn during that last portion. Some people call that metabolic conditioning. Metabolic because you're getting a lot of metabolites on a physiological level. Guess what you didn't get much of in this program? Any stability balls besides some curls or maybe some ab stuff. We're doing a 4-2-1-1 tempo. Nope, we're not fucking doing that. The stability. My clients get stronger and they get results faster because it's more efficient. I don't need to scare them by doing exercise inferiorly with light weights. Their form needs to be perfect. Not really. That is an old school methodology. Perfect means what? Think of it like sport. There is a right way. Yes, I'm not going to have my clients load up 5 plates on their back, squatting on their toes, and they can't even do 1 rep. That is not ideal. But if they have a little bit of knee valgus, they're not going to die. If they have a little bit of shakiness, that's okay. I don't scare them. Oh my God, you need to stop. You're going to hurt yourself. No, the body is resilient. Bodies are fucking awesome. You give it a stress, it's going to adapt. Let me reiterate, because some dipshit out there is going to post, show up fitness doesn't think that you should have good form. Think of it like sport. Would you prefer to swish a bucket in basketball or prefer to run around the rim 5 times and go in? Yes, a swish looks cooler, but at the end of the day, you both fucking made it. That's the point. You show up, you teach them movements that they're good at, and you overload them. We do not strive for perfection, which what the hell is that? We strive for progressions. Again, for the last time, I'm not saying we're having our clients perform a military press with an upward shrug of their shoulders and their elbows all fucking over the place and they look like Gumby. No, we have movement competency fundamentals that we implement and then we progress and get stronger. That's what we do as a qualified personal trainer. Now that you understand how to program for a beginning client 4 times a week, let's get into passing this horse shit nessum. You can't get a refund. You're not a bad person. You got the sunk cost fallacy. You probably got some dumbass bundle, 6 certifications, PES, FMS, all of these certs, and you can't get a refund. So you're thinking, I need to learn all this stuff. Beautiful, beautiful fucking job by NASM, a great marketing company. Because you're thinking, all right, I'm probably going to spend about 6 months reading this entire textbook. And then I'm going to wait a week or two, and then I'm going to go into the PES or the nutrition. And then I'm going to do the same thing for all the other ones. A year goes by. You've never trained anyone. You're so stressed out over this test, you probably put on weight, and you're not even looking like a trainer. So no one's going to fucking work with you because you don't look the part, and you have zero confidence. Maybe I'll foam roll you and because you have a Dr. Overactive Magnus, I think. And then what we're going to do is, how much you charge? Maybe $40. You have no fucking confidence. So the person's thinking, why the hell would I work with this person? No, thank you. You need to be able to have a conversation with the client, dig deeper confidently, find out what they really want, and then give them the best freaking workout they've ever experienced. Then you sit them down, you say, Janet, how awesome was that? How many times a week do you want to train? I don't know, Chris, you tell me. I'm going to suggest 6. Great. Here's how much it's going to cost, Janet. How do you want to pay for it? Cash, credit, and charge your account. What do you think? And she goes, credit. And you go, holy shit, it was that easy? Because the confidence and the delivery and the value add from a qualified trainer. You're not going to get that in a textbook. We have numerous calls, podcasts, articles in my book, interviewing actual fitness professionals. I'm not talking about some weirdo who works for NASA. I'm telling you, you got to study the textbook. This stuff is very important. You're going to be, you need to focus on looking the part, but understanding the part. And scaring people isn't how you do it. Get through this stuff a fucking sap. The first one, get to level 0. Because that's what this is, a level 0 textbook certification. Show Up Fitness has a tier where we're going to give you a study guide. It's helped over 4,500 people. I laugh because it is literally gold. If you focus on that, you'll get through it. But on top of it, we're going to give you over 200 quiz questions, and I'm going to give you some right now. And we have live calls where you get to ask people, can you help me better understand this? Chris, why are you being such a prick and telling us we should spend more money on this certification, you're an asshole. Oh, maybe you should look in the mirror, not at yourself, but the people you bought the certification from. You just wasted thousands of dollars on a certification that doesn't set you up for success, in my opinion. As I've taught this stuff, I taught NASM at a school, NPTI. I've interviewed thousands of trainers. We have a board of education with professors, therapists. This stuff is not recognized as quality amongst medical professionals. Who did you hear this from? An ad that you got from the Google machine when you typed in how to become a trainer is one of the first things that popped up there, because NASM's a great marketing company and they have the resources, being owned by Ascend Learning and owned by Blackstone Investment Corporation, which is a multi-billion dollar company. They have the money to get in front of you. Just like McDonald's has the money to get in front of the whole entire world, doesn't mean it's quality, in my opinion. But go out there and see how well you do memorizing 800 pages in the textbook and training people. If you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts, go interview professors at legitimate schools, Clemson, Texas, Connecticut, Ohio State, where some of the best kinesiologists are in the world, and ask them what they think about these textbook certifications. And you know what they're going to tell you? There's two. NSCA, National Strength and Conditioning Association, and ACSM, American College of Sports Medicine. What? I mean, I've heard of them before, but I didn't know they were the best. They're not saying they're the best. They're nonprofit organizations. And they have journals and they have science that they're helping change the industry. Most professors who are teaching at that level and in the clinical aspect, in the trenches, doing scientific studies, they would laugh at these certs. It's hilarious. I worked with Dr. Kramer at the University of Connecticut, legitimately one of the best scientists in the world. And when I asked him about NASM in the beginning, he said, never heard of him, Chris. Well, how is that possible? That this is the best certification out there? Or is it that NSC and ACSM aren't the best at marketing because they don't give a shit? They're more concerned about actually doing science. So then you have the white knight that comes in and goes, holy shit, look at all the money we can make off of this certification we can put out there. Let's do an OPT model, some bullshit that's extremely outdated. Scare people with outdated stuff from Janda, which is going to be upper cross, lower cross syndrome. Let's give it a system so you can follow it, and let's make a shit ton of money. And that's exactly what happens. No knock to NASM. They're a profit. I love NASM. But we're a profit organization as well. And Show Up Fitness has the best certification in fitness, as NASM says they're the best. You could take 100 Show Up Fitness CPTs and put them into a gym. And I challenge you to find 100 NASM CPTs and put them into a gym. Let's go Lifetime. We have a partnership there. So maybe that's bias. Let's go Equinox. We also have a partnership there. Let's go Crunch. Well, you go to Crunch, and I want to see where the NASM trainers will be 1 year from now and the Show Up Fitness CPTs. We just did a call with a trainer who got a Show Up Fitness CPT, got hired at Crunch. Now he's in management. He's the number one trainer overall. There's like 3,000 trainers there. Ask him what he credits his success to. We have numerous examples like this. And so if you get into the level zero, you're going to know exactly what to focus on, which leads me to number two. Listen, I know that's hard. My belt buckle's annoying. I can be annoying. I get it. I don't give a shit. My goal is to change the fitness industry by helping create qualified medical professionals, because that's what trainers should be. And when you go through Show Up Fitness and you get your level one, that's exactly what you are, because you can talk to therapists and doctors and dietitians because they're on your fucking team. So when a client comes in, they go, oh, my shoulder's a little jacked up. I said, don't worry. I have a therapist we can consult with. And the client goes, oh, wow. I thought you were going to do some overhead squat assessment or FMS and scare the shit out of me, tell me I'm broken and fragile, and then give me some bullshit exercise with very limited load that won't do shit for me long term. Because that's what they've been scared on the past. So now the client's guard comes down and they know they're in good hands. So when you listen and we tell you, don't read the whole textbook. Someone sent me a message the other day from someone who's like, should I print out the whole entire textbook? Fuck no. Why the hell would you want to do that? Do not spend more than 2-3 weeks going through this thing. No, you can't get a refund. Buckle down every day, 3-4 hours going through the guide, reviewing the quizzes, and listen to what we have to say. What about this person over here? His site says that. I don't give a flying fuck. Did they help 4,500 people pass this? I don't want you to pass this and proclaim I'm a great NASM trainer. That's not my intent. My intent is 1 year from now, I want you to be training, helping people safely, building a career out of your passion. Can level zero textbook certifications confidently proclaim that? I don't think so. And so you need to listen on what you're going to be tested on, the big things, overactive, underactive assessments. We'll go that here in a second. You need an OPT model, 4-2-1, foam roll everything or you'll die. And then get over it. Get into a position where you can learn from an actual human being. They can help you with programming. They can help you with the assessment, build your confidence. And now you're on the path for success. I feel for the people who reach out and say, I just need to pass this so I can go gain experience. You're not going to make it. Imagine what a fucking doctor said that. You know, I just need to, I don't need to go to med school. I just need to pass this MCATs real quickly so I can go gain experience with working with the heart. It just blows my mind how ignorant we are when it comes to this profession. We are personal trainers. We're using our hands manually. We're helping people. How will taking a test, multiple choice, now some of them are open book. Yeah, that's going to make you a professional. How is that going to set you up for success? You need someone to go, hey, Jackson, why are you programming stability ball squats when your client wants to grow an ass? Well, for stability. But you can do a goblet squat and the load will be higher, which is one of the mechanisms of hypertrophy, tension. And it would be a superior exercise. So why are we choosing the stability ball? You want to try it? Go try it. See what happens. And have them try it. Client falls. Yeah. How did that work out? Oh, yeah. They're pretty ashamed. Did they sign up with you? No. Interesting. Next time, try a goblet squat and see what happens. That's a more appropriate lower hanging fruit. And the client does it. And then you go heavier and they feel empowered. That's what we want. So listen to what we say and focus on the main chapters. Do not read the textbook. You can just go through this and get the study guide and you'll be fine. We have a cheat sheet. And the cheat sheet will say things like this. I'm reading off it right now. Stabilization, phase one, 4-2-1-1 tempo, 12-20 repetitions, 0 to 90 seconds rest, 50 to 70%. You need to know that intensity. For example, stability ball, squat, curl, and press. Know that. Anytime NASM asks about phase one, you could not even read the entire question. Just find stability ball, squat, curl, press. That's phase one. Phase two, strength, endurance. That's going to be your supersets. Strength into stability. Phase three, muscular development. 2-0-2-0 tempo, 6 to 12 reps, 0 to 60 seconds of rest, which isn't optimal, but that's what they want you to know. 75 to 85%. Phase four, XXX tempo. Don't write that in the Google machine. You will get some weird shit that pops up. 1 to 5 reps, 2 to 4 minutes rest, 85 to 100% intensity. Phase five, power, referred to as post-activation potentiation, PAP. They don't tell you that, though, because it'll confuse you because it's an actual scientific word. It's a superset from strength into explosive. So, for example, a bench press into a med ball throw, squat to an ice skater. 10% of body weight, it needs to be explosive and then rest. We give you within this cheat sheet what you need to focus on, and we'll give it to you for free. We sell it for $40 on our site. If you leave a 5-star review, you copy that, send it to us, and we're going to send you the cheat sheet for free. So find the podcast, which you're listening to right now, if it's on Spotify, Apple, all over the place. Give us a 5-star rating, and we'll send you this for free. As I said, we're a profit organization. We make our money off of helping people become successful, and that's tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. Moving up the ranks and building your confidence with the network and streams of revenue. Level zero is just fun. Because we can help anyone pass ACE, ISSA, any textbook certification. It's super, super easy when you focus. And these companies will pride themselves. NASM has a 35% fail rate. Well, yeah, because you try to read the whole entire fucking textbook. Could you imagine trying to understand Spanish by reading an 800-page Spanish book? No preguntas, por favor. I wouldn't understand what the hell I just read. How do you get better? You go to Mexico. And you live with the family for 3 months. you better believe you're going to be fluent in Spanish. You practice, you learn, you ask questions, and now you go implement it and you continue. I know I can come off harsh. That's why we've brought on so many more members to take care of the NASM stuff and the ACE stuff and the level zero stuff. My goal is to get into the right hands with the right partnerships. And that's why we have a partnership with Lifetime. All 170 of their gyms accept our certification because they're looking for quality. And when I talk to them, guess what? I'm able to comb through all the bullshit that's out there and get to the bottom line. You need quality. Let me guess. You just hired a level zero trainer. And they go, what is a level zero trainer, Chris? I've never heard of that. Well, there's a line in the sand. Level zero textbook, self-taught, anecdotal. Level one, internship, degree in kinesiology, Show Up Fitness CPT, working with therapists. There's a fine line between quality and textbook. Well, that's exactly what we hire all the time. And where are they 3 months later, 6 months later, 12 months later? They're not here. How much have you wasted? Most of these big box gyms will spend between $25,000 to $50,000 trying to bring up these inexperienced, unqualified trainers. And these trainers, unfortunately, go out there and they have to change careers because you were not giving fundamentals for success, asking questions, being able to work through it critically, thinking, not just regurgitating. You can pass this test super, super easy if you focus on what we tell you. So when you hear this question like, what muscles are potentially tight if your client demonstrates pes planus distortion syndrome? It's just another term for valgus, old school term. They can throw some random shit in there like this. Glute max and med, adductors and gastrocnemius, anterior and posterior tibialis, sternocleomastoid and scalenes. You should read this as tight, overactive, anything that's under, eliminate. A, eliminate. C, eliminate. D is tight, but it's the neck. So the answer for this one will be B, adductors and gastrocnemius. There are three adductor muscles, adductor longus, brevis, and magnus. And then you have two other adductors, the gracilis and the pectineus. The gastrocnemius is a posterior calf muscle. It's biarticulate, crosses the knee and the ankle joint, inserts into the calcaneus, and that's your Achilles tendon. You may be thinking, well, that's just showing off. But if you talk to a therapist and you don't know where your gastroc is and you don't know that it goes into the calcaneus as well as the soleus, if they're talking about an Achilles injury, they're not going to feel confident in sending you clients. We get our trainers confident to speak medical lingo so you can build your relationships. Your client demonstrates knee valgus. What would be the appropriate exercise to strengthen those weak glute muscles? Ball cobra, single leg scaption, hip thrust, band walking. These are not taken or stolen from NASM. I don't work for NASM, no affiliation. We're taking questions and helping you understand the right answer. So ball cobra is a NASM word. Single leg scaption, NASM word. Band walking is just the frontal plane. That's what they're looking for. A hip thrust would be a great exercise, but that's not in the NASM vocabulary because hip extension is what we're looking for, but anything that's going to work with external rotation or in the frontal plane abduction as band walking would, that's your best answer. Three, during the static postural assessment, Jill demonstrates lower cross syndrome. Which of the following muscles should she lengthen? If you ever tell a fucking client they have lower cross syndrome, I will find you and throat check you because that is just stupid. Why scare a client? They don't have lower cross syndrome. Ask them if they have pain, if they don't get into the workout. The movement screen shouldn't scare people. You find out their goals, give them exercises for their goals with proper form and overload. Is this the glutes, the TVA, or the erector spinae, upper traps? What should she lengthen? What that means is there's a muscle that's tight, so we need to stretch. In this case, with lower cross syndrome, you're going to see an anterior pelvic tilt. So what we're going to want to do is stretch the erector spinae. The glutes, the TVA, and the upper traps are not the right answer. Four, Monica has tight pecs and upper traps, causing her to have rounded shoulders and a forward head. What postural distortion pattern is she demonstrating? You'll see a lot of shit like this. It's confusing, the verbiage, the vocabulary. All I read was tight pecs. What is she demonstrating? Lower cross, upper cross, pes planus, pronation distortion syndrome. Upper cross is when the shoulders are internally rotating. text neck, as they say, which is a stupid term and fake. Don't believe me? Go check out work from an actual physical therapist, Andy Minkins. He has some awesome stuff debunking a lot of this bullshit. Your client has low back arch while performing the overhead squat assessment. What should you do to her psoas? You should rip it off. That's the right answer. Everyone's fucked up with the psoas. Stretch for 1 to 2 seconds. Strengthen for a 2-0-2-0 tempo. Stretch for 30 seconds in SMR. Strengthen at a 4-2-1-1 tempo. The correct answer for this one when it comes to the overactive muscle as the psoas major, iliopsoas, which goes in with the iliacus, which is the hip flexor. We need to stretch these. Got to foam roll and stretch or else your client will die. SMR stands for self-myofascial release. While performing the overhead squat assessment, Joe's arms fall forward. Which of the following could be the cause for this? Arms fall forward. That's going to be referred to as extension. What is the main extensor? Those are things that we're going to teach you at Show Up so then you understand the question. So if it's extension, that's going to be your lats. So what do we need to do? We always foam roll and stretch. The overactive muscle. Weak upper traps. Nope, cross it off. Tight mid and lower traps. Nope, those are weak. Lengthened lats? Nope, because the lats aren't lengthened. They're overactive. This is a trick question. And we put this on here as with a lot of our questions because we break them down and help you understand the verbiage. The traps, the middle and lower, are always weak. Upper traps are always overactive. Tight, shortened. Mid and lower traps are always weak. So if you see something that says tight mid traps, cross it off. Weak upper traps, cross it off. Lengthened lats, cross it off. The lats aren't lengthened. They're shortened. D, shortened pec, major and minor. Got a foam roll, stretch, or they'll die. So I know I can be annoying. I get it. I grew up with three older brothers, military family, but I want to help you get through this because you know what fucking crushes my soul? When I get an email from someone and they say, you know what? I've just been so frustrated because I've been sitting on this NASM for the last 18 months and I need to renew my test taking. Like, why? Well, because I have to. According to who? Well, I already paid for it. That's the sunk cost fallacy. You just gambled away $90,000. You have 10 left. And now you have to gamble it because you already lost 90? What? Don't fall for that. If you can get a refund, get a refund. We have a 14-day free trial. That's how confident we are. I even tell people, if you have a level zero certification and you go through our program and you don't feel you learn more than whatever certification you have, I will pay you $100. No questions asked. That's how confident we are. Our program is 14 days free. It's a two-month program online. We also have in-person San Diego, Los Angeles for a two-month internship, helping you get in front of therapists, observing therapists, gaining hours for your level two, which you need to have 100 hours of observation. They're working under a therapist. We are changing the fitness industry by making qualified trainers. Don't believe me? Check out our other podcasts with the top trainers at Lifetime, at Crunch, at LA Fitness, at Anytime Fitness. We're getting people hired at gyms all throughout the world, but it's not just gyms. If you want to start your own business, we can help you with that. You want to be an independent trainer? Listen to a podcast we did a couple back. Trainer completely lost, went through the program, gained the confidence, and now guess what? He's leading a successful business. That's what we want. That's what our mission is, to change the fitness industry by creating qualified trainers, and we're here to help you. I know you're frustrated. Shoot us a 5-star rating. We will send you that NASM cheat sheet so you can get through this and understand this test so then you can forget about it and start focusing on becoming a qualified trainer. That's what we do at Show Up Fitness because we are the best belt buckle trainer. Checking out. And remember, big biceps are better than smaller ones. And keep showing up.